This is Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Today we'll be talking with our good friend, singer-songwriter Templeton Thompson, and then the Emmy Award-winning host of the PBS series Equitrekking, Darlene Newman, will join us in the second half hour. The Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store and in the Christmas Shop. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store and in the Christmas Shop on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee and join us, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Templeton Thompson. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Christmas time's a coming. Christmas time's a coming. Christmas time's a coming, and I know. Humming, 'cause Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing? Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming.
Times are coming, and that's Templeton Thompson. And Templeton, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas and Happy Ye Holidays.
That song just puts me in a good mood. It's a great way to start a show, and with one of my favorite people. So, gosh, it can't get any better on a Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey,
tell me.
Yeehaw.
Hey, what... You know, it is Christmas time, and it's always fun to talk to folks about Christmas and maybe some of their favorite memories when they were growing up. You know, we get so busy sometimes during this holiday season. It's kind of nice to stop and reflect a little bit. But do you have a favorite Christmas memory?
Wow. That's kind of a hard one, because I will tell you that all in my childhood, I absolutely adored Christmas, and so now the big girl lets the little kid out. during this time of year. Every year, I love it. I'm behind on decorating. Got to get that done because that's one of my favorite things to do. And, you know, we have our new puppy dog, Bear, and
yeah.
we are both wondering how he's going to react to the Christmas tree because he's very, very, very playful. So I'm wondering if the ornaments are going to be safe. And we always have something fun that we sort of do traditionally with Sam's family, my family. We have a blast watching Christmas Vacation, right? And there's the squirrel that gets stuck in the tree, you know, the Griswold family Christmas tree, and then goes barreling around the house. And, oh, my God, all kind of mayhem ensues. Well, Sam, I guess it was last year or the year before, I can't remember, but it was after Christmas, and we were shopping, and he found stuffed squirrels, little stuffed animals. And so he got two of them. One for us to now put in our own Christmas tree every year, and one to give to his mama, our Mama G, to put in her Christmas tree. So we do that now every year, but we're worried about doing it this year with Bear because we're kind of afraid that Bear might sort of attack the in the tree, and said tree may come bearing down in the living room. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, just keep your phone or your camera close by so you can get some video of that. That should be a should be a hoot. That should
exactly.
be a hoot.
Well,
are there
playful.
Any? Well, you know, I think you know, it's just great to be able to adopt like you did with Bear, and
many mean homes, man. Right? God.
They do. At this time of year, you know, there are a lot of folks that need attention, and our animals out there that need attention, and. And two, you know, people kind of need to be careful and make sure that they're ready to adopt a pet. Sometimes at this time of the year, we kind of let our emotions take over. So pets are for a lifetime.
Yes, sir. Forever and ever. Amen. Man, they're your family. And in fact, some cute bears laying at my feet. And he's like, I know you're talking about me, Mama. yeah, I mean, that's such a big deal. I hope, thank you for saying that out loud. They are. It's forever and ever. Amen. They are our family. And whatever they need, we do for them. And just, pay attention to it. It's a really big commitment. You are adopting a child, and that's the deal there. So
you really are. And by the way, talking about family, be sure and tell your beautiful mother, PJ, happy birthday, because I happen to know this is her birthday today.
Well, thank you. You're awesome. I certainly will. She's been getting all kind of birthday wishes on her Facebook wall, and I did that too. And I called her yesterday and wished her a happy early birthday. So I'll be calling her. She's got a very busy social schedule today. She's a wild woman, so she's out there doing her thing. So we're going to get together this weekend when she's got some time because she stays so busy. I love that. I love how active she is and how involved in so many different things. She's involved in, so she's an amazing woman, super talented too.
Well,
you gotta see her painting.
I've seen some of her paintings, and I started to say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree because you're both very attractive ladies, and both are very talented. And
thank you very much. I appreciate that. Horse crazy too.
Yeah, I know. I mean, was your mama maybe the biggest influence in your life growing up, as far as? Picking up some of your talent and your horse love?
Horses, definitely. That's all because of mom. And my dad, too, to some extent. But my mom, you know, it's just, as we know, when we're horse people, we are born with it, right? And it's just in us. And that's been my mom her whole life. When it comes to the music stuff, that's my dad.
Okay.
He's big time into music and is just awesome and loves to sing, loves to pick. In fact, he recently gifted my sweet Sam with a banjo, and it's just too funny, like how he'll just call up sometimes and leave these long messages where he doesn't talk, he just plays the banjo and challenges Sam. He's like, how you doing on that banjo picking, brother? You know, can you play this one yet? So he loves bluegrass. My dad is eat up with music, and it's really cool. And he is why, as you know, I am such a huge Michael Martin Murphy fan. That's my dad, man. We drove all over Texas together listening to him sing. And, I mean, I grew up on that man's music because of my dad. Dolly Parton, Linda Ronstadt, Emmy Lou, that's Don Williams. That's all because of my dad. He's a huge music fan.
Well, you know, it's great that you've been influenced so greatly by your parents, and I think so many of us are. Not all in the same direction, you know. Not everybody is comes from an artistic or a talented family, but they're all influenced by their
family.
So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
And everybody's got their gifts. Something you're artistic somehow, some way or the other. I believe that. You know, it just depends on what the gift is, and then hopefully people use those gifts. I think that's super important. So
well,
we all
it
do
is.
Our own things. That's a good thing.
It is, and you know, one of the things that impresses me about you, Templeton, is the fact that you are such a giving person, and that may be one of the reasons that I love you and Sam so much, and that is that you just give back. You're involved in a lot of great causes, both for horses and for our furrier friends, you know, our dogs and our cats. But for people as well. And so, you know, I mentioned before the show started we would bring this up, and so maybe this is a time to do it. But we're going to have the Equestrian Legacy Radio is hosting the second annual National Trail Ride for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation to help kids that have brittle bone disease. And that's going to be taking place the first weekend in June, the 4th through the 6th. And you are going to be one of our featured entertainers for that. And
yes,
so,
sir, and I can't wait. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate that. And when you mentioned Michael Martin Murphy, you know, that all came to mind because you'll be featured on Friday night with the Sawdust Brothers, and that's made up of Ryan Murphy and Johnny Dowers and I believe David Lane, who make up the Sawdust Brothers. Ryan is Murph's son. And then
amazing. Oh, my
God. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to having these guys down. I mean, you know, a couple of these guys are coming from California to be performing and be there with us. And then Murph will be there on Saturday night for the final night with the Rio Grande Band. So it is going to be a cool event. The Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship is going to be held in conjunction with our event this year. And 120 miles of trails for people to get out and enjoy. Plus a lot of vendors for some great shopping this year. So we appreciate you so much for donating your time and helping with that. And this is the second year that you've done that. So
Happy to. I love my Fiona girl. She's my little sis. You know, I love her so much. My rock star cowgirl card. I love you, Fiona. I need to get her out here soon. She's still got to come out and meet Bo and Jane. Jane and Bo have been very, very excited about getting to meet Miss Sweet Fiona, so we'll make that happen one of these fine days.
We'll have to do that, and one of the young men that we were able to help is a young two-year-old fella named Riker Curtis, and Riker just had surgery last week in Omaha, and they rotted his arms. He's just 2 years old, and he had over 18 fractures just this year, and so we were able to help with that surgery for him, and so we're grateful to do it. So, hey, everybody out there, put that on your calendar and come out and join us for the trail ride for the Extreme Cowboy Racing, and the concerts are going to be fantastic. So you can visit our website, equestrianlegacy.net, to get more information on that. But we want to play some of your music. We're going to talk about an exciting campaign that you have going on right now, and right now we want to you're always so positive. And such an upbeat person. There's a song that we're going to play now called Believe in Me. And tell us just real quickly how that song came about.
That came about because of a mutual part of all of ours, a rock star cowgirl named Miss Mary Miller Jordan. Mary Miller Jordan and I met via another mutual Facebook friend named Candy Anderson. Hey, Candy, love you. Love you, MMJ. Anyway, you know, just the world gets smaller and smaller because of music and horses, horses and music, right?
Right.
And better because of horses. Anyway, Candy sent my music to MMJ. Mary dug it, and we just started kind of talking on the phone, and she was in the process of working with her beautiful Mustang at that time. She has so many amazing rock star Mustangs, working with Flying Colors, and they were getting ready. And we're in the midst of, you know, getting ready to go compete in that big Mustang Millionaire competition And Nat Geo Wild was also following her and Colors and other extreme Mustang Makeover, Mustang Millionaire teams, two and four-legged. And she wanted a song that would basically be the song that she and Flying Colors would do their freestyle to when they got into the finals at the Mustang Millionaire competition. And because we all have to believe in ourselves, and if we're shooting for a goal, you know, it's going to happen, right? So, you know,
right.
Shoot, I knew they were going to be in the finals. It was like a no-brainer. She's amazing. The woman is touched by the hand of God. Her work with horses blows me away. So just really totally inspires me. So anyway, long story short, she was saying it would be so cool to have a song and maybe we could work together on something. And she had this poem that she sent me, and basically the poem led to this song called Believe in Me. So Sammy and I, my musical partner in crime and my amazing rock star cowboy husband Sam, we basically did what we do as songwriters and kind of sat down and pulled from that poem, and the song started to form itself, and just a God thing. And then we talked. Actually, Sam never really even got to talk to Mary. It was basically me and Mary kind of talking, throwing ideas around. And I would, you know, sing stuff to her and say, what do you think? Capturing what you need. And then we got together at Briarfest 2 years ago. Has it been two
mm-hmm.
years ago? Anyway, and that was when the Nat Geo Wild folks were still following everyone around and filming. And so we didn't perform that song because it wasn't quite done yet. But what was really oh God thing, I've never had this happen before, but I've never like been writing a song like on camera and it actually, you know, was being written, you know, as we were sitting there, because she said, wouldn't it be cool, I'd love it if Colors' name, Flying Colors, could be in the song. And that line, fly, let your true colors fly, I mean, it just fell out. It just was, it was like God going, here, check this out, why don't you do this? And really, on camera, live, right there, the first day that we'd ever met each other face-to-face, I went, fly, let your true colors fly. You know, it just kind of, it was there. And
was there.
I always believe they're little gifts, not little gifts, big, huge, enormous gifts that we get to be part of. So, yeah, so that's that song in a nutshell. And what's amazing to me, I'll just say this about Mary, because you know her so well now, too, and she's so positive. She's got such a great attitude about things. And I think I was like the little kid at Christmas, you know, just, it was like, where's the pony? There's supposed to be a pony under the tree, you know. And I was really bummed and sad that she and Colors weren't in the top 10. They should have been. They're amazing, you know. But you know what? What's so cool? She had such a great attitude. And she's like, it's okay. There are other things for us. You know, there are other things
right.
down the road. This wasn't a meant to be kind of thing. That wasn't obviously part of their journey. And all these other wonderful doors have opened up for her and for her horses and for me and Sam too, you know, because I, as a songwriter and as an artist, I was looking forward to, you know, I've performed with my rock star baby girl, Jane, in that exact arena. It was the first
right.
time I ever sang from her back, bareback, like went in with a halter and lead rope, and she got all 4 feet up on the pedestal with me on her back in front of a lot of people in that huge Will Rogers Coliseum. And it was a big lifetime achievement, musical and horsemanship achievement for me with my baby girl, because I'm from Texas. It was like full circle thing, you know. And so I was looking forward to having that whole crowd, man, singing that song, rooting MMJ and Colors on that night. But that's okay, because there have been other things that have happened that were supposed to happen. So there's my very long story, endless story about our song with Mary Miller Jordan, me and Sam and Mary Miller Jordan, Believe in Me.
Well, this is a great song, and so we're going to listen to that right now. It's Believe in Me by Templeton Thompson. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
May not know which way.
Believe in Me by Templeton Thompson. And you know, Templeton, there are a lot of folks that believe in you. And you have a big project that's in the works right now. And tell us about that.
Okay. Well, we have decided for the second time, we've utilized the crowdfunding platform in the past to make an album. And that last album was an album of covers called Icy Blue Heart. And now we are utilizing a crowdfunding website platform called Indiegogo. And we are in the midst of and fundraising to make a new album called Get That Pony Rode. As you know, we released a video for our song When I Get That Pony Rode a while back, and the amazing rock star cowgirl, our dear friend, who's family to us, Miss Cindy Meal, who created, directed, executive produced, all that good stuff with that amazing documentary called Buck.
Right.
She's become a very dear friend, and she was kind enough to gift us with a wonderful music video for our song, When I Get That Pony Rode. Talk about angels in our lives. You mentioned people believing in us, and that honestly, I'll get weepy. That blows me away. Seriously.
Well, it's a great
video. It got me emotional. Sorry, because I just feel really grateful.
Yeah, it's a great video, and I think that thing kind of was one of the top videos on, what was it, Greater Country, what is it?
Yeah, Great American Country. I mean,
Great American Country.
We got on TV, and we're independent, like, all the way. It was like, yeah, we're going to be the underdogs, and it was so much fun, and it got... That happened all because of the people that were willing to call in and text in and email GAC and say, hey, we want to see our friend Templeton Thompson's When I Get That Pony Rode video on your show. You know, it was all because of fan support. So that's why we're reaching out to our friends and family and fans, you know, to say, okay, now, not to be over-asking, but I don't have a home yet for that version of the song. We've recorded that song a couple of times, but we don't have, you know, that particular single version that's in the video is not on an album yet. And it was so wild because I thought, oh, man, that's the name of the album. Get That Pony Rode, you know. It's just like for all of us working so friggin' hard to do what we love and no matter what it is. So we are working using that Indiegogo platform to crowdfund to make this new album. And so that song will be on this album. The song you just played, Believe in Me, will be on that album as well. Probably different version. We're probably going to do something a little different. A whole bunch of brand new original material that no one's heard. And then even this brand new song that just fell out that God gave us a couple of hours ago. I'm just so grateful. So I am forgive the pun, but I am chomping at the bit. I'm just so excited because I can't wait to get all of it recorded. We have some songs already recorded, some just titles. Honestly, I've got, and I don't mean to sound like I have all these titles and all of these songs, and I'm just, that's not what I'm saying. Let me just make sure that that doesn't come across that way. I am grateful and over the moon. I feel so blessed to have these titles, these ideas, these songs that are almost finished, these songs that are finished, songs that want to be finished. I mean, if I had my druthers, Gary, this album is going to be like a double album. I don't know. It may wind up being just that. That being the case, we have definitely got to raise, you know, the goal that we're looking for. And we're hoping and praying and working hard, man, that we're going to literally get that pony road and raise this goal, and it might even mean that we can do a new music video too, you know, a real independent. It would be, you know, me and Sam, and possibly, that I can't really talk about it, but possibly something else super cool, and it would be for a song that's on this album too called The Reckoning. So anyway, you know, and we could do some publicity with these funds, and we could do things. I told someone else recently, you know, for once, kind of not on a shoestring. because we are wholly independent. You know, we don't have sponsors. We have wonderful product sponsors who keep me in the herd and wonderful products for us, like the Natural Vet and the Vital Force and Bar None Boots. They are awesome, amazing, wonderful people. But we don't have money sponsors. We've had that in the past, and that was a blessing, but we don't have that now. And we don't have publishing deals now. You know, it's all us. Yeah. So I need you guys to jump in and get on the team, man. Get on the Get That Pound team and go to Indiegogo.com. I'll tell you, Gary, this is cool. We're still trending on the website. So honestly, the easiest way to find the link so you can find out how you can be a part of the process, pre-order the CD with perks, and just be on our team, you can go to Indiegogo.com and click on music. And you'll see my mug right there on the screen.
All right.
Feels so good. I'm very grateful. Or you can just go to TempletonThompson.com, and it's right there on the home screen. And I'm talking too much. See, I've had too much coffee. It's kicking in.
Well, you and I have had too much coffee together a time or two, so that's kind of fun. But, again, now how long does the campaign run?
It goes until, I'm looking at it, we have 18 days left, December 28th. And we are 28% to our goal. And it's amazing because we were at 23 a few hours ago, and we had a wonderful angel in our lives sponsor one of our songs. That's one of the ways that you can be a part of this album. You can actually give a song some wings on our record. And this wonderful person sponsored our song, Don't Throw Me Away. So there's a list of titles on the page, on this Indiegogo campaign page that you'll find. And, you know, if there's a title that speaks to you or if there's a song that speaks to you that maybe you already know, we would be pleased as punch and really grateful. Me and the Herd would be if you wanted to sponsor that song. I'm grateful for whatever anyone can do. You can contribute a buck. And let me tell you, that buck will make a difference. So I'm just grateful. Just grateful for whatever, and people can share the link, whatever you can do. It's just that we do honestly, truly swear to God from the bottom of my hippie chick cowgirl heart, you know me, we can't do it without help. We can't do it without everyone's support.
Well, a lot of folks love your music and are big fans of yours, so we're going to encourage people to go to visit TempletonThompson.com. And you can connect there to help with this crowdfunding effort to get this CD made. There's some cool perks that are available to folks that participate in that as well. And so we want to encourage folks to do that. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll find information on the program there so that you can become part of the Templeton team and Templeton's Facebook page as well. So it's going to be real easy to find ways to participate in this and help with this. You know, Tempe, one of these days, maybe sometime after the first of the year, we need to get a few of our friends together, you and Sam and maybe Mary Ann and some other folks, and talk about the differences now between the way that music is made and gotten out there, because it's changed over the years. And there's so many independent artists today that if you want to make a CD or a new album, then you've got to have some ways to generate some funds to do that. So we may have to do a little segment to talk about
that.
I love that.
Mary Ann would be great because she is so, when you talk about Mary Ann Kennedy, so freaking talented. And my neighbor, I can practically see her house from my back
window.
You can.
And
yeah,
a horsewoman and a music icon, you know, such great music that she's done. But a lot of changes.
You know what's interesting, Gary? I'm sorry. See, there I go. Too much coffee. I was just going to tell you, like, recently, one of my favorite artists on the planet, and I know you're a huge fan of her too, Susie Boggess, she crowdfunded on the Kickstarter platform and raised, like, something over $75,000. And that wasn't even to make an album. That was to go promote this new album that she has.
Lucky.
I need to get my hands on. Yes, Lucky.
Of course,
I'm such a huge Merle Haggard fan and Susie Boggess fan, so cannot go wrong with that. I wish I'd known. I would have pledged. I would have been a backer, a contributor on hers. So now I just got to buy the record. I'm going to go. I need to get that done. I need to get that pony rode. I need that album in my collection.
All right. Well, listen, you are always so much fun to talk to. And we want to wish you and Sam a very Merry Christmas and happy holidays. And I know I'll see you in June. My goodness, I hope I get to see you before then because it's still away from June.
Well, let's try to make that happen. We're all too dang close. Let's try to make that happen and figure that out. And thank you, Gary, seriously, for believing in us. It does, seriously, I know you know, means a lot. Means a whole lot because there's a lot of music out there and you are so awesome at promoting independent artists, be they musicians, be they horse clinicians, you know, TV hosts. You're really awesome. You're very selfless in that, and I very much appreciate it. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, we love you guys. We look forward to having you back again and talking with you real soon. And we're going to close out this segment with Happy Ye Holidays. And, you know, you can pick up some Christmas music from Templeton right now. So be sure and visit our website at templetonthompson.com to do that. And Templeton, thanks so much. We love you guys. Tell your mom happy birthday for me. And we'll be talking with you soon.
Too.
All right.
Sounds good. Happy holidays. Love you, darling. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks so much. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with the Emmy Award-winning host, Darlene Newman, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacy.net.
That you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Well, the snow is softly falling on the pasture, and there's a holly wreath hanging on the barn. Jingle bells are jingling, lights are all a twinkling. Christmas time is coming to the farm. Yeah, I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, and hoping that you're warm and home safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Like the feeling when all the ones you love are gathering in. So I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas, hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays.
Happy ye holidays, and we are so happy to have joining us now for this last half of our show, the Emmy Award-winning Darlene Newman. And Darlene, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
I am doing fine. I am doing fine. When I sat... Go ahead.
I said, did you have your coffee this morning?
I haven't had as much coffee as Templeton had. But I'm working on my eighth and ninth cup right now, so I'm doing pretty good. Gosh. You know, I needed it. When I started going over your activities and everything that you're doing, I was worn out. I mean, goodness gracious. You're just a one-woman media empire. It's unbelievable.
I'm an early riser.
Well, let's see. People are familiar with the PBS series Equitrekking, but a lot of folks may not be aware of the travels with Darlene that you do. You're an author, I believe, and let me find my notes here now. You received the Merit Award for the Best Travel Book. You've been awarded twice, 2 years in a row, I think, the North American Travel Journalist Award for the Best Travel Show. And, you know, one of the neat things that I saw, Darlie, was that you had been awarded the Inspiring Woman Award from the Women's in, the Women in Philanthropy and Leadership. And that's pretty cool.
That was really an honor to get that award because I received it. I'm from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. That's where I grew up. And I actually received it in Myrtle Beach at the convention center. And it was awarded to a number of women from South Carolina that have gone on to do, you know, things that are an inspiration to other women and girls and people out there. And so it was just really neat to get that and to go home. And it was a very special experience. And actually, I had one of my friends who worked with me at CBS in New York when I was in New York for a while, and she's from South Carolina. She came with me to the event. So it was a really fun trip and special experience.
Well, it's that type of recognition probably is one of the special awards that you've received. So, but anyway, just a busy, busy lady. And when I was thinking about the show, first of all, as I look at all of the things you're involved in, I think we're going to have to do two or three different shows. So, you know, I'll just put in a plug now that we need to have you back. But tell us a little bit about how you got started with horses. And then I want to find out how that turned into equitracking.
Yeah, it's so funny because I've been thinking about it more and more lately. I first was introduced to horses at summer camp in North Carolina. I went to a camp called Camp Tonawanda for a lot of summers and then to a camp called Camp Greystone where I also rode. And that was my first introduction to horses. I've been thinking about because we recently started a guide on our site that's a guide to horse camps because it's one of those things, Gary, where when you start to learn something when you're younger, it just really, it does affect you throughout your life. And it's so much, even if like, you know how they say when you learn to ride a bike, you know, especially when you're younger, oh, it's just like learning to ride a bike. I think horseback riding is one of those things too, especially if you're introduced to horses when you're younger. And that's one thing that's not happening is, as much now or, you know, with a lot of people that are living in urban areas especially, it's harder for them to find the time or the place to ride. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, started when I was 7, and the camp had a kind of a hunt seat traditional program, so that was my base. But went on to do, you know, different trail riding, a lot of kind of a mix of English and Western. I never competed or did anything like that. I've always just kind of done it for pleasure. But just love being around horses, love being outside, love feeling like I'm exploring somewhere when I do take a trail ride or travel to ride somewhere. I feel like it's such a special way to travel and see a new place, and you meet so many cool locals when you're doing it. Even if you bring your horse somewhere to ride, you're inevitably going to meet some other people, whether you're staying in the area or, you know, using a horse camp or whatever it is that you're doing. So I think it's a really neat thing, and before we started equitracking, it really wasn't, not many people were riding their horses around the world, or if they were, it wasn't like big in the news or anything like that. So,
right, right.
I think we brought to light something that is such a great activity and way of life for a lot of people, so it's really special.
Well, how did equitracking come about? I mean, were you involved in TV? Were you involved in travel before that, or how did that come together?
It came together. I was working in New York City, believe it or not. I was working at CBS News for 48 Hours, which is a show that's, you know, famous and still on.
Right.
Doing interviews, and I had been working in TV doing different jobs. And also at the same time, while I was in New York, I was writing for Trailblazer magazine, which is, I think it got resurrected soon, but writing about riding in different places, and I went and rode in Central Park and, you know, different traveling and riding segments because I thought, you know, this is such a neat, I love doing this. I'm sure other people love it too. So I kind of did that on the side. And I really wanted to do something in life where I got to travel and I got to combine my passion. So I thought of the idea for equitracking, and it wasn't totally right place at right time or anything like that. I mean, I obviously worked really hard at it, but basically found sponsors for it and did a pilot episode in Ireland, actually, and started it on a small network, which is no longer around, called Horse TV. And then basically took that episode and went to the next level, went to PBS and showed it to them. And then I did an episode that just aired in New Mexico. And then I took it from New Mexico and took it to the national PBS to get approval to try to make it happen there. So it was kind of a stepping stone process where I would say, okay, I've gotten to this level. How do I get to the next level? And now it's airing all over the world. We're in over 84 countries. It's, you know, not only on PBS, but it's on networks like Horse and Country TV in the UK and Ireland. It's on Country TV, which is in New Zealand. So we're truly, we're going to be airing in China. So we're kind
of... Oh, wow.
People like equitrekking. So that's...
Well, they do. They do.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know, I kind of sit here and pinch myself, and I'm saying, well, gosh, I've got Darlene Newman on the show, and I've watched that program, you know, kind of... plan my afternoons around that or to see where she's going this time or what she's going to get into because
I mean, and everything that we do in the show is something that you could go and do yourself. I mean, some trips are, you know, further away than others, but like everything that we profile, those are things that are open to the public. They're places that you could go and ride or travel, so it makes it accessible. And I mean, I'm not an expert at anything that I try to do on the show, so you can either laugh with me or laugh at me when I'm trying to like ride in Uruguay and use the different stirrups and all this kind of stuff. But it's a lot of fun.
Well, it is fun. It's fun to watch the show. And now I know on one of the I'm kind of fortunate. I get five public channels where I am. And that's kind of unusual. I get two channels out of Nashville, three out of Cookeville, Tennessee, and I think that I'm catching your program on part of the Create Network. Is that right?
Yeah, we are on Create TV, and they'll run us during marathons. They run us like multiple times during a week when we're in the schedule. And that's a network that's dedicated to PBS shows that are, you know, how-to cooking and travel type stuff. So if you like lifestyle programming, definitely a good place to look for us and a good network to check out.
Well, it's a great show, and again, I've enjoyed watching you travel all over the world and do different things while you're there as well. Let me ask Darlie, and there's a lot of things that I want to talk about today, and I don't know how much time we'll have to get these things in. When you're selecting a travel destination to cover, how do you do that? How much time does it take to prepare to do an equitrekking episode?
I mean, it all depends on the place. Like some, it's because some places I'll kind of work. Like I'm working on, I would like to go to Mongolia this summer. That's like a harder destination to line up, and I am working through a horseback riding tour operator that's there to work on, you know, all the logistics and stuff, and I know them, and I know the tours they do, but, you know, it just depends on the place. Every place is different. We could work 6 months or a year out. Usually it's like 6 months or a year.
Wow.
That we'll, yeah, just to start the planning, and because it's kind of a process. I mean, when we're planning the actual day-by-day shoot for equitrekking, I'm talking to the people on the ground that are the horse owners that we're going to be filming with, whether they're at, you know, just regular public stables or they're at resorts or they're at ranches or castles in Ireland or whatever it is, whatever's the case, and trying to work out with them, like, what's the best route that we can take to film? You know, it gets very detailed, and we rely a lot on the people on the ground to kind of help figure things out. We explain to them, you know, how we need to shoot the show and, you know, what we need, because we've had some rides, and we've learned from experience, because as you can imagine, it's hard to film this kind of show. In the beginning, like, we've had some really, really long rides, and it's hard to film a ride because it takes a lot of time. So sometimes we've been, like, we've gotten, like, a third of the way into a ride that someone had planned for us, and I'm like, we're going to have to cut some of this. We're going to have to leapfrog some of this because we'll be out here for weeks if we go at this pace.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we've had some rides where we're, you know, coming back at, we're trying to make it in a day and we're coming back and it's, you know, we're coming back in the dark. So it's like interesting. We did that in Spain, and we did it. We were coming. It was. We get a lot of sunsets, and that's why you'll see a lot of sunsets on our show, which are beautiful. But that's because we're still out there riding, and we happen to catch that sunset, and then we're like, we gotta get back because it's dark.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I want to come back and talk about maybe some of your favorite rides, some of the destinations that have been your favorites, and maybe some of the most interesting things that have happened while you've been filming Equitrekking. But we want to take a quick break, and I also want to talk about maybe some of this 50-state trail riding project that you've got going on as well. I know that we posted on our Facebook page something about the Great American Ranches that you did, just a little clip. But we want to take a break and listen to a song called Cowboy Christmas Style by our friend Michael Martin Murphy, and that's certainly a Western destination for people. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're talking with Darlie Newman, and we'll be back to talk with Darlie more in just a moment.
By full moonlight, two horses and an open sleigh. We'll take a ride, a cowboy and his bride, and stop for friends along the way. The time is here, we've waited all year, and holiday excitement fills the air. We'll make the hillsides ring with the songs we'll sing, go gliding through the old town square. Cowboy way of celebrating Christmas, coming right along beside us for a while. Could there ever be a time as fine as this is? Christmas cowboy style, yodeling in the snow, a yodeling ho ho ho. Christmas cowboy style. By Grandpa's fire, a family gathered round the tree, all singers in a country choir. There'll be gifts handmade, reins of rawhide braid, a saddle blanket woven red and white. It's working gear we'll use all year, and remember Christmas night. It's the cowboy way of celebrating Christmas, coming right along beside us for a while. Could there ever be a time as fine as this is? Christmas cowboy style. Yodeling in the snow, yodeling ho, ho, ho. Christmas cowboy style.
Our friends Michael Martin Murphy and Don Edwards, and it's Christmas Cowboy Style. And Darlie, I'd mentioned to you before the show when we talked just a little bit, do you have a favorite Christmas memory?
I have a lot of good Christmas memories. One with horses, though, was actually a couple years ago, more than a few years ago, but I spent Christmas at Biltmore in North Carolina, and my mom and sister and I went out horseback riding, which, I mean, I think if you can, especially after you eat a big meal, if you can get outside and ride a horse during the holidays, you feel a lot better. So.
Yeah. Well, after I've ridden horses, I enjoy coming back to a campfire and having a good meal. So I guess it works both ways. But
yeah, well, and then if you morning and you can eat lunch on the trail, then you've got your food hit all
That's
day
right.
long for that. So.
That is right. Well, listen, as you've done your, as you've traveled across the U.S. and around the world, do you have a favorite riding destination? Was there some one particular place that was more enjoyable or interesting to you?
You know, there's a few. I always tell people, though, I love Ireland. Ireland, just in general, is one of my favorite places to ride because it's so diverse. You've got beaches, you've got mountains, you've got that lush green and the patchwork countryside. The horses there that I've ridden have all been awesome and kind of more chilled out type horses, which I like. And then just beautiful trails. I love the Ring of Kerry, which is down on the southwest part of the country, and that's a place where you can go ride and gallop on awesome wide beaches. You've got mountain rides. It's just absolutely beautiful, and I was lucky to be there two times, and we had sun on a couple of days of both of the rides, which everyone says when you get sun in Ireland, you are lucky. So it's true, though, and it just makes it so much more beautiful. But all over, I mean, you can go up to Donegal, which is in the northwest, and amazing beaches there. You know, even in the middle of the country, then you've got the beautiful, you know, those old stone fences. You've got rolling green hills. I just love it. So I think that's a great place for people to consider. And it's kind of a dream trip, I think, too, especially if you can visit a castle and, you know, go to the pub, do those quintessential things while you're there.
Right,
so that's one
right.
of my favorites.
Now, did I read something, or did we talk about one of your most interesting breakfasts, and did that happen while you were in Ireland?
Breakfast, huh?
Breakfast? Did you have a beverage for breakfast one morning, dream?
Yes, and that, you know, that's another peril of filming, actually. That was actually in Scotland. We had to get up and do a whiskey tasting at 8 a.m. because the place was... I know. The place was opening in the morning, and we had to do it before the crowds came in because they didn't want us to disrupt their regular business. So that's why I ended up drinking whiskey at 8 a.m. And it was funny because the guy who was doing the tour with me, and he was, you know, showing me how to taste whiskey but wasn't drinking any. And I was like, no. If I'm doing this, you're doing this. So it was funny.
Gosh. There are a couple of episodes that I remember that looked like a lot of fun. One was, I think, someplace that you were up in Canada and there was snow on the ground and you were almost having to make your own paths.
Yeah, that was awesome, actually. We did a Quebec episode in the winter, and I just really wanted – that's a place where I was like, I really want to go somewhere where we can do horseback riding in the snow. And
mm-hmm.
So we picked Quebec, and we went at the end of February, beginning of March, so that there was still snow, but it wasn't as cold because we wanted to be able to have, like, some time to film outside because you can go out, you know, in the winter and ride a lot, but you don't want to be out there too long.
Right.
So the timing was hard, but that was amazing. And we rode at a couple different places, and just getting to ride when it's actually snowing and then being in that powdery snow is really cool. But they also have the trails really well groomed up there because they're already grooming a lot of them for snowmobiles and other winter activities. So it's a good place if you want to try to do some horseback riding in the snow.
Well, and then going to the other end of the spectrum, you've done an episode in Hawaii that looked like it was pretty cool.
Hawaii is really cool. They have such a rich culture there with horses, the paniolos, they call them, which are the Hawaiian cowboys. And I thought it was fascinating just to hear about there's a ton of cattle ranches, especially on the Big Island, and hearing about their history with horses and how they used to ship cattle off of the island and, like, swim them out there and put them on barges and boats. I mean, it was fascinating, and the ranches are beautiful. I mean, when you can ride on a ranch where you see these rolling hills, but you're looking out over the ocean, it's kind of a surreal experience because you feel like you should be, you know, in the middle of land, in the middle of maybe the middle of the country, but you're not.
Right.
You're on an island. Yeah, so it's a neat experience as well. And there's so much diversity in Hawaii for riding. You mean, you can go down into the Waipio Valley, which is got like lush rainforest-like surroundings, or you can go up into Waimea, where they have a lot of the ranches, and there you've got the rolling hills again, and you can look out over the ocean. So really, really neat place to ride.
Well, let me ask you, and Susanna Gibson, who is the owner and publisher of Trailblazer, it was kind of interesting that you mentioned that you wrote for Trailblazer. Susanna is a regular on our Tuesday show that we do.
Oh, okay.
And she and I were talking one day and trying to decide which one of us had the best job, you know, because I get to talk with so many interesting guests, both in the music world and in the horse world, and she gets to travel to so many places to ride and write for Trailblazer. But I almost think you've got us beat.
Oh, yeah, I mean, everybody's doing so many cool things. That's why I love traveling and meeting people and talking to people as well, because even the people that are at these stables that are there all the time, just their daily trails are always different. So I think there's a lot we all have to be thankful for, especially if we can be out there and traveling and riding and doing cool stuff or talking to people about it. So, yeah.
It's pretty neat. Now, you've got a 50-state trail riding project. And talk to us a little bit about your website and some of the other things that you have going on, because you are a busy, busy girl. And, gosh, I just don't know how you do all the things that you do. But let's talk about this 50-state trail riding project.
Yeah, well, we started that on the site because, obviously, we have a team of people at Equitrekking that are traveling and riding and writing, but we also always look for ideas from other people. And this is a project where we wanted to highlight trails in all 50 states, including states that we really didn't know that much about, like Delaware. I had no idea, you know, what kind of riding there was in Delaware, and I thought, well, what if I'm stuck in traffic one day and I want to take a ride? I mean, Delaware, we're always in traffic. I don't know what's going on in that state. But, yeah, so we started this project. So anyone out there who is in a state that has great horse trails that they want to share with other people, I know some people want to keep them those trails to themselves, but we encourage you to share them. You can write about it for our site, and we are looking to get articles from all 50 states, and we have a lot of states covered. We're missing a couple, like the ones that we're missing still, if anyone out there is from Vermont, Wyoming, North Dakota, New Hampshire, Nebraska, Mississippi, Massachusetts, or, believe it or not, Hawaii. Those are the states that we're still looking for those. And you know what's hard about Hawaii? I talked to some folks there the other day that are riders. There aren't that many. I think there were like only maybe two that they mentioned public trails that you could actually go and ride on. So that is going to be an interesting one to look at. But these are places that anybody could go and bring their horse and take a ride.
Well, if our listeners out there want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
You can get in touch with me through equitrekking.com, but I'm also on all the social media, or a lot of it now, with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest, both for Equitrekking and then also my name, Darlie Newman. So they can definitely reach out and anywhere that anyone's ridden that they want to suggest or recommend, we would love to hear it, because we're always looking to highlight good places, because our website is a resource for people that both want to take a trail ride or go out and do a ranch or riding vacation. We've got a vacation guide. We've got our horse camps guide. We've got a site called top20ranches.com. So we're really looking to just showcase great places to ride so that people can find out about them and get out there and have a good time.
All right. So we'd encourage people to do that. And you have a newsletter. I receive your newsletter. And how would people get that?
That's another thing that you can sign up on our website. This is the last day of we're running a contest. If you sign up for our newsletter, you get entered to win Mark Luxton Equestrian Jewelry. And he's a South Carolina designer that we know that does equestrian-inspired stuff. So we thought that was kind of cool. But right on our website, you can sign up. And we do a monthly newsletter. We include great articles that we've written and that other folks have written about exotic and places near and far to ride, as well as travel deals and other things to kind of get people encouraged to get out there and ride.
All right, so visit equitrekking.com, and you can sign up for the newsletter and keep up with things that are going on there as well. Darlie, with all of these places that you've traveled, Two questions. The most frightening experience that you've had?
Well, I mean, that was in Botswana, Africa. I got charged by an elephant when I was horseback riding. That was definitely the most frightening. One that I don't want to repeat. And one that you can watch in that Botswana episode. And it was funny because the guide that we had was British, very experienced, but also pretty bold. And afterwards, he laughed at me and said, "Oh, you mean you've never been charged by an elephant before?" And I'm like, he thought I was, you know, maybe more, being charged by an elephant, I don't know who can say that. So I was like, this is a real joke this guy is pulling on me. But no, the whole rest of that trip, we rode for a couple more days in the Okavango Delta, and I was like, whenever we'd see an elephant, I'd be like, let's turn around or go another way. It would be way in the distance. And I'd be like, nope, not getting near any elephants. So it was
well,
scary.
What did you do when the elephant charged? I mean, you know, how do you react to that? What do you do?
Well, that's something I was only prepared in the sense that I had read things about it. And I had asked the guide, like, what do I need to know before we went on the ride? And he was like, basically, all you need to know is you just need to do whatever I do, and I'll tell you what to do. So that's what you need to know. I was like, okay, I don't know how confident I am in this. But basically, we were riding across this island. You go from island to island in the Okavango Delta. It's the largest inland delta in the world. So you ride through water, you go over on land, and there's not necessarily set trails. So we hopped up on this island, and there was an elephant who apparently did not want us to be there. He was eating at this jackalberry tree, which he apparently liked. It was a bull elephant. We were crossing over this island, and he just came out and charged us. And he was, you know, pretty close. And it was a mock charge, though, and I can't really tell the difference, but apparently our guide could. So there were five of us. Two folks went off into the water. They got thrown off their horses. The other three of us were right there with the elephant kind of in our face. And basically it was like a 10-second standoff. And then the elephant literally backed up. Like, he backed.
Oh, wow.
And then he went back and shook the trees, and that's when I was like, we're getting out of here. But you're not supposed to run because they will chase you, and you don't want that. So I guess, you know, thankfully I had a great horse. My horse had been charged before, and he knew what to do, and I was holding on to my reins and, like, shaking for dear life, and so was my horse, but he listened to me. And I think he trusted my guide more than anything else, which was, you know, it's hard to get a horse to trust you, I guess, that first day. But maybe he knew I had some confidence in the saddle. So we rode it out.
Oh, gosh.
I don't want to do it again.
Well, we were talking the other day about winter trail riding. And, of course, you don't run into too many bears during the winter because they hibernate. But we have talked about running into bear on the trail before. And when you compare that to an elephant, I don't think there's a comparison, you know. That elephant is a whole lot bigger.
Bears are scary too. I mean, I've never run into a bear. I've seen them in the distance, but I was riding in Alaska with this lady who ran into them quite frequently, and her horse was also amazing. I mean, she's like, I'll never sell this horse because he knows exactly what to do. And I guess you kind of have to have a standoff there too. I don't know what you know about it. I mean, I need to do some more reading on.
Yeah, I mean, you're not supposed to run. I'm sure that elephant and I know bear are much faster than we would dream that they would be. So, yeah, I don't think you want to run from those things. But
No. I mean, and especially like the elephants, they can just run over anything that's in their way. Like, you may have to be weaving on your horse, but they can just run it right down. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I've talked to folks that have been on the shows that have done 1,300-mile trail rides, you know, some of the long riders. I've talked with folks that have just traveled the lower 48 states, traveling with their horses and camping at different places. And one of the questions that I always like to ask, who is the most interesting person that you've met in your travels while you were filming Equitrekking? Any particular characters maybe that stand out in your mind?
I mean, we've had so many interesting people. I really like this guide, this guy that I rode with in Jordan, his name is Atala Swalheen, and he's a Bedouin that breeds Arabian horses, and he's also an endurance rider. He does the Wadi Rum endurance race through the desert each year. And he was amazing. He was just one of the most interesting because he was one of the nicest people I've ever met. He still emails me every month when he gets our newsletter. And his written English is not amazing, but I just love the fact that we've kept in touch, and it's been at least 2 years now since I rode there with him. And he was just so nice and made me feel comfortable when I was the only woman riding with a group of all men through the desert, you know, close to the border of Saudi Arabia sometimes. So the fact that I felt comfortable and confident because he gave me a great horse and was just so nice and welcoming, it was an amazing experience. So that's probably one of the tops. And then in Durango, I rode with this woman, Ann Rapp, who leads rides down there through Rapp Corral. And she was cool, too, because she's been in, an extra on a lot of movies and done, like, westerns and things like that where you have to do stunt riding. And I just think anyone who's done some of that kind of stuff is also pretty interesting because those are hard things to do and hard things to do with horses. So she had really well-trained horses. She was always out there just riding. She rides in the San Juan National Forest. She knows it so well. I have a lot of respect for the outfitters and guides out there who do this, and they know the land, and they can tell you where to go. It's just amazing.
Oh, wow. Well, again, one of the things that I think would be such a pleasure in doing something like you're doing is to be able to meet so many interesting people that all have this common love, and that is a love of horses. And being welcoming to folks that come in to talk with them. I mean, you know, there's just some really, really neat folks out there. So I enjoy I enjoy your shows. I actually saw the show that you were just talking about. And just fascinating to travel with you around the world and to experience riding and to see the sights that are out there. What's coming up next for Darley Newman?
Well, hopefully Mongolia. I hope I can work that out. And then we're looking at also, I think this spring we'll go to Nicaragua and we're going to go back to Ireland. So some other cool adventures are definitely in store, some new places and returning to some old. And hopefully some more U.S. adventures too, because there's just so much of America to see.
Well, I'll put a plug in for Tennessee. I mean, we've got some pretty cool stuff out here, so we'll talk about that sometime.
Yeah, that would be great.
Would love to have you back out here to visit with us. Well, you are just a joy to talk with. And, again, you have so many things that you're involved in. One of the things that I do in the morning when I'm having breakfast is try to catch up with some of the TV shows, the Today Show and some others. And I've seen you on the Today Show. So
Trying to get out as much as I can and you know, just share some of the knowledge that I've learned and that, you know, that helps other people get out there and travel.
Well, it's a great program. The Equitrekking program is great. Now, the Travels with Darley is a bit of a different venue. How could people follow you there?
Yeah, well, Travels with Darley is an online series that we're doing that it also has some equestrian stuff, but it's also more general travel with food and adventure. And folks can tune in to watch it on both AOL and Huffington Post and MSN, as well as Budget Travel Magazine, so budgettravel.com as well. So we're sharing great videos each week.
All right. Well, it's just a lot to keep up with. You're almost everywhere. And just an interesting young lady. And I said, you've done so much, you ought to be a lot older than what you are, but you just have a busy, busy schedule. And I appreciate very much you taking the time to join us today and visit with our audience and to share some cool stories. And if somebody was going to put one spot on their bucket list, would that be Ireland to attend?
I think I would, yeah. Ireland would be my first choice if you're going to go out of the country. And then honestly, Colorado, Wyoming, anywhere in the American West, if you can get out there and ride, there's so many great national forests, awesome ranches, and the ranches where people, generations of families have owned them. And I think it's important to visit and support them because we want to keep those ranches open.
Amen.
And Yeah, and keep that land open for riding. So, you know, definitely the American West, Ireland. Those would be top on my list.
All right. Well, Darlie, thanks again for taking the time to join us. And people can visit you at equitrekking.com. Visit the Facebook page and like them there and follow up with them there. And I would really encourage people to sign up for that newsletter. It's just a lot of fun to read each month. So, Darlie, look forward to having you come back and join us another time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Gary.
All right. Talk with you soon. Thanks, Darlie.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Well, we've had another fun show today. It's always a pleasure to talk with Templeton Thompson and visit her website, templetonthompson.com, and a pleasure to make a new friend with Darlie Newman and visit her website, equitrekking.com. And we want to remind folks that there's still time to do your Christmas shopping online. Visit our Legacy Club, our Christmas shop, and the general store, and shop with our sponsors that help make Equestrian Legacy Radio possible. And this Sunday morning at 9 o'clock on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, she will be visiting with the award-winning Barry Ward. And so that's going to be a fun show and a lot of great music and inspirational conversation at 9 o'clock with Belinda Gale on Blessed Trails. And then this Tuesday on Saddle Up America, we'll be joined by Susanna Gibson with Trailblazer Magazine. And we'll be visiting a great guest ranch out in New Mexico. And then next Thursday, we're going to be traveling to Canada and talk with the multi-talented Eli Barcy. So a lot of great programming coming up through the rest of the month of December. And be sure and join us for each of our programs. We remind you that you can listen to our archive podcast online at equestrianlegacy.net. And be sure and visit the website, and you can download our free mobile app so you can listen to Equestrian Legacy on the go anywhere in the world at equestrianlegacy.net. Thanks for listening, and we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on equestrianlegacyradio.com. .net.
Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the if the faith